David Brown. It's Sunday evening with all of its splendor. It's time for another exciting edition of Real Questions. Tonight we have a lot to talk about. So much has transpired since we've last gotten together. And of course, you know the show. For all of my friends, it deals with the concomitant issues of the day. People started calling me and say, why aren't you saying that? We wait for that every week. So, yeah, I'm sorry. My apologies. But we're here tonight, and I got a great show for you. I have joining me tonight State Senator Barbara Robinson, who is representing the 40th Legislative District. And I also have 7th District candidate, I believe he's going to be a candidate for Congress.
Correct.
Corrigan Vaughn, he's also here tonight. So we're going to start the show off with them. There's a lot going on. Before I do that, I need some housekeeping things. The telephone number to call is 410-319-8888. That's the number to call to participate. First-time callers are always welcome. And, of course, young people, we love to hear from you as well. I got to give a shout out to Mark Waldron, who does a fantastic job each and every week as he keeps us going with gospel instruments of praise. And, Mark, when you're not across from me, it disturbs my presence because I know Mark is going to bring me in right. So thank you so much for the job he does. And, of course, the entire Gospel Grace team, they do a fantastic job each and every Sunday, beginning in the morning till evening. Ernestine Jones, my partner in Klein, Ernestine Jones and I, we go way back to other gospel stations. Now it's a popular thing, but when we did it, there weren't too many gospel stations that existed. And so I'm just happy to shout her out. She always does the same thing for me on my show. Mm. So, look, we got to talk tonight. Stuff is going on everywhere. What can I say?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, I'll open up by saying, you know, we have one of the deadliest cities.
That's true.
In the world.
That's true.
I was going to say in the nation, but in the world, when you look at per capita,
202 murders as of today.
Yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And
it just keeps going up, you know.
You're both seeking office, you know. What can I say?
Well, not seeking office. I'm already in office.
Yes. I'm sorry.
I understand. And you're absolutely right. Things do have to change. And I know that there was so much controversial issues about the mayor's gun bill.
Yes.
And I understand what she's trying to do. And as she said, I don't know any bills actually that will actually come in without being amended. So it's somewhere to start. I'm not saying that I am for. I'm just saying that we need to do something. When you look at the bills, the things that are going up, the crime rate that's going up. And that's why we do not need any newbies in office. You know, we don't need someone that's going to need on-the-job training. We need to look at some of the things that are happening and what it is that we need to do. And the city, get with the state. To address this issue. So it's not just a city issue. It's not a state issue. This is a Maryland issue.
Might I say something, David?
Certainly, Corey.
And with all due respect to Senator Robinson, we are friends, and she'll tell you that, well, through and through. But I kind of disagree with her. I have a gun permit for Utah, please let me finish.
No, I'm not saying.
Okay, Utah, hold on. Okay.
But she hasn't made her decision.
I said something needs to be done.
I understand that, but when you talk about what the mayor's putting out there, it's all wrong. Your daughter and I sat in a meeting, and I've been a lifelong citizen of Baltimore City, and I've never in the history, even under Martin O'Malley, see people of color and non-color be disrespected last Tuesday in City Hall. It was a sin and a travesty. Now, let me say this other thing. When you say newbies, and maybe somebody seeking an office, I don't consider myself a newbie because I'm in the community, and I know where you were going with that, but I want to be very clear on that. Sometimes we need positive choice and change when it comes to those who have been sitting in office and have done nothing for the citizens, and they always pontificating things. Perfect example, Sandtown Winchester. I look at the thing that Marvin Doc Cheatham did down there in a drug-ridden place that's now a playground. And I'm happy to say that a lot of the Republican Party from across the state and across the city bought into that. One of the problems that we have in Baltimore proper, in my opinion, is we are a one-city party. And it ain't about party. It should be about people and principles.
Senator Robinson, let me ask you. I mean, you know, from a legislative standpoint, you have been working tirelessly for the past 10 years, mm-hmm. Pretty much in public office, mm-hmm. and either serving in the House of Delegates mm-hmm. and now in the State Senate. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you something. Have you really seen a change in the type of leadership? I mean, you understand the process. You've been through the process, and you know how to get things done in Annapolis. Have you seen this new crop, as I guess we can refer to them as, or it may not be new to the industry, but new to public office?
You know, I kind of sort of agree with Corrigan about some things. There are some people that need to be moved because some changes need to be made. I'm not going to call in a name, so that's not where I am. What I am saying is that when I was chair of the Black Caucus, there were various bills that were put in for crime, for the Law Enforcement Bill of Rights, and for other bills such as that. 17 of them, crucial bills, did not come out of judiciary. And when they did not come out of judiciary, they adversely affected crime and blacks in Baltimore. So when we talked about that, and when Jill Carter and Pina Melnick and I put together a letter, because we were not going to support other bills if we did not get we did not get some answers as to why these did not come out of judiciary. So when we went to talk to the speaker and took the letter that we wrote to the speaker and talked about these bills, because the NAACP, the Urban League, so many other organizations in Baltimore were calling us really upset about the bills not passing. So the speaker asked if we would step back and he would form a group, a task force, to study what's happening in Baltimore. We really didn't need a study because we know what's happening in Baltimore.
I mean, and how many studies have we already had?
But the people Lord that knows. He put on that actually were not an adequate representation of Baltimore. The people that wrote, I was not on that committee. Jill Carter was not on that committee, and neither was Pina Melnick. Now, it was chaired by two great people from Baltimore, Kurt Anderson and Senator Pugh at that time. But we needed more people who actually understood what was happening in Baltimore. So we instead of trying to upset people who are actually working, we need to look at those who are not working and put somebody else in there who's working. You know, I've been working for too many years for someone to come along and say they need to move Barbara Robinson. Excuse me. I've been working for too many years. And I know exactly what it is that's needed. I know what it is that I'm doing, and nobody can say that they have not seen me out there. But we need help. And again, I also need to say this. When we put in bills in Annapolis and we go into committee to defend those bills, they are not going to pass if we don't have support. You know, now they're in committees. In the Senate side, you may have 9 or 10 members. On the House side, you have 24, 25 because you got 141 members in the House and 47 in the Senate. So when you go in, and if I put a bill in, like the liquor stores in Park Heights, if I put a bill in and I have, when the committees ask me, the committee chair or committee members said, do we have any supporters? And it's only me. And they ask any opposition and half the room stands up. What do you think is going to happen? So people in Baltimore need to get behind our elected officials to get things done and not sit back and talk about it, the ain't it awfuls, and leave us out there fighting by ourselves. Because, and then when we come back to Baltimore, you ask, what have you done? What are you going to do? Well, what are you going to do to help me?
Corrigan, I mean, you would be in entering into a race as one would say, I've heard the terms, a David and Goliath battle. Now, let me ask you something about that. What makes you want to run for this particular office?
Because for the last 18 years, we've had no one who did anything for the people and portrayed the principles in which we stand for. It bothers me that a sitting United States senator can tell the world that he had a brain tumor that had to be operated on and had the same doctors that I had from Hopkins, but they went to Phoenix. And we have a congressman from May to the end of almost this month doesn't say anything, knowing that everybody knows that he's been in Hopkins. And it bothers me when you get people, and I'll call names because I don't have a problem with it. Sandtown, Winchester, when the riots broke out, the only thing that most people down there said is the only time we've seen Elijah and Kathy Pugh was when the cameras were there. He's a camera hawk, and that's the honest to God's truth.
Did that prompt you to want to run for a higher office?
No, that didn't. I look at the community, not only Baltimore City, but the 7th congressional district. Is Northern Baltimore County from Towson all the way to the 83 line, to the Pennsylvania line, Howard County, and Baltimore City. It bothers me when we have legislators who step and fetch for one administration but don't support the people. When the flood came down in Ellicott City, the only time Elijah was out there was when Barbara Mikulski was there. And my whole thing is, you can do a 30-second soundbite, but if you are not saving our people by putting legislation in, by being there when they are being unjustly betrayed, I don't understand why we keep doing this. And I'm like the late Dr. Frank M. Conaway, who was my cousin. He said, a few weeks prior to him transitioning, that the reason why he became a Republican was for 50 years, the Democratic Party had put in play a situation where we had to go along to get along. He also talked about the highway to nowhere, and everybody knows where that is. That killed the black voting base in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. My whole problem with all of this, both local and state, the killing that is happening in Baltimore ain't because of Donald Trump.
That's true.
The killing that is happening in this city isn't all gun violence. We got knives, we got people poisoning people, and at the end of the day, we've got to go back to our communities and understand that we've got to revitalize our families and our communities, and that's what makes our communities grow.
I've got to ask you this now. In your district, you encompass most of, I guess I would call, Middle West to Northwest Baltimore, and then on the other side, you still have interesting communities like South and Southeast Baltimore and Hampton.
Mm-hmm. Pigtown.
And yeah, and you've got a lot of, and if you have Pigtown, you probably have us. My church is in the middle of that district over there, Cotter Memorial, on 13 South Poppleton, by the way. So, you know, we're wondering, and I guess I'll pose this question to both of you, and I'll let you answer first, Senator Robinson. I mean, have we gotten to the point now where our leadership does what it wants to do, or are our leadership actually working for the people?
You know, that's a great question. Because this leadership is working for the people. Because what I had, in order to understand what was needed in Baltimore, what was needed in my district, I had a meeting called Leadership Awareness down at Bio Park, where I invited all of the leaders. You know, we have 160 community organizations just in the 40th district. And so many of them don't know that the other exist. So what I did was call the community leaders, the community residents, not just the leaders, although I wanted the leaders to be there, because I visit the community organizations. Sometimes I do three a night. You know, I have a driver, I run in and run out, because I want to find out what's needed in that neighborhood. And I can't fix something if I don't know that it's broken. And each neighborhood has different needs. And I listen to the needs of those neighborhoods. For an example, in Morrill Park, they needed, at the recreation center, they needed, it was a building moved in order to have parking for the recreation center, in order to have access to go into the recreation center. They didn't have wheelchair accessibility. So we worked on that. Over in Sandtown, working with Doc Cheatham, we have a charrette that's being planned up at Coppin in order to find out what can we do. There's a food desert there. In order to find out what's needed and what can we do in those houses across the park where Doc Cheatham, we have developer that we've already started working with Doc Cheatham on that issue. And what I'm just saying, another park, in another area over in the Hampton area, their issue was dispensaries, marijuana dispensaries, licensing for that. Mary Pat Clark, Mary Washington, and I, because our districts cross. So we've come together to work with the licensing that goes along with the dispensaries. So what I am saying to you is that each community has a different need. And what I have done, gone into these communities like Violetville, Morrill Park, Hampton area, all of these, Pigtown, Mount Vernon, Park Heights, definitely Park Heights. So we've done so many things, and even the liquor stores in Park Heights, for they're not opening before the school opens, so that the children won't have to pass by people nodding and shooting up, et cetera, in front of liquor stores. So those are the type of things that I'm working with George Mitchell to do a library in Park Heights. So I listen to the people. That's who sent me there.
The library has been closed up for a long time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And not only that, having been on WEAA for 12 years, and I hosted the Business Reach Out Forum, and that was dealing with business issues. And I would get books from people sent to me so that I can read them and ask informed questions. So I have a whole library in my building of books that I've collected. Those I'm going to donate to the library in Park Heights, because one of the things that I'm fighting for when I get back to I'm not just when I get back, because we're putting it in place now, financial literacy. Financial literacy should be taught in high schools, and it should also be taught in prison for inmates who are within a year of being released. Financial literacy and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, when we talk about leadership again, I got to ask you the same question, Corrigan. Is it a situation where people are selecting themselves as opposed to being elected by the people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are they serving their own interest, or are they serving the interest of the people?
They're serving their own interest. David, you are a alumnus of Northwestern Senior High School, correct?
Absolutely. Wildcat.
It bothers me that the black leadership, both in the city council, the House of Delegates, and the state Senate, allows that school to close for political reasons. And that's the only reason that school is closing. It bothers me that when the mass transit does a major overhaul, not one elected official has rode those buses. And I ride them every day. I got a car, but I ride them every day to hear what the citizens are saying. So when I hear all of the great stuff that Senator Robinson is doing, and I can attest to most of it that she's talking about, but it bothers me when Joe Citizen can't get his councilman, his delegate, his state senator, or even his congressman to talk about the issues that affect their children.
That's not true. That's not true with Barbara Robinson.
I excluded you.
Okay.
So it is true, and you know that to be true, because I can name.
But I guess the question was, I mean, who's mandated by the people? I mean, are elected officials now elected because they're mandated by the people? The people are saying, look, I need you, I want you, or is it a establishment, or
it's establishment,
or personal?
Point blank, it's establishment. Let's just say it this way. Let's just be very clear about something. What's the MSNBC host? I can't think of his name. His wife is now the Democratic chair for Maryland. Their goal, and I've heard this from folk there, is to bring a narrative on Maryland, how they can put the facade up that everything that is happening is because of Larry Hogan negatively. 68% approval because he does the right thing. And it bothers me that folk like you and me, friends of mine that are on the other side, will not fight that type of negativity. Because at the end of the day, it ain't about the leadership. You go to be a servant and not a celebrity. And most of them want to be celebrities and superstars. Mm-hmm. And that's something that bothers me. And when I talk to Joe Citizen on Cumberland and Pennsylvania Avenue, they ask me, when last time you seen Mr. Cummins? And I'm like, nobody's seen him because he's hiding.
But to get back to the question, though, Corrigan, are you mandated by the people to run, or, you know, are you exactly, you know, doing the things that essentially we're talking about?
Unfortunately, in our system of government, specifically in Baltimore, specifically in the Maryland 7th Congressional District, it's always a point where it's mandated by the party officials on the Democratic side. And we got to break that cycle. We got all of these abandoned houses in district in Zone 17. We've got the largest crime, other than in Greenmount, in Zone 17. And nobody comes down there. The only time they come down there is when the cameras are down there. And that's not right,
Senator,
to the people.
Robinson, you've been in for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, that's the bottom line. Nine mm-hmm. years in the House of Delegates and now an incumbent senator.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you have a pretty good mandate from the people.
Mm-hmm.
When you see who you ran against and who you beat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that some of the younger elected officials are listening to the people, or are they coming in with new, fresh ideas? And I know you're not against youthful leadership.
Absolutely not. But they are coming in on their own aggrandizement. They're coming in because they want to be popular, coming in because it's cool to be a senator. You know, rather than coming in with looking at what the people need, what you can give to the people. You know, when I look at someone who's coming in who cannot say what they've done, what he's done, what have you done? Show me some accomplishment, something that you have done for the people. I'm not talking about a project that somebody has worked on and you helped that person. I mean, what is your project? What have you done? So when you come in and nobody asks you, you know, nobody said, I need you. You are saying, I want to run. Why? You know, if you have not shown what it is that you can do, what need can you address, then how are you going to effectively serve the people that you want to vote for you? The fact that I've been there for these many years and been voted in three terms says that I did do my job. First time may be a mistake, but nobody's going to make the same mistake three times. So the fact that I have served the people and the fact that I am still serving the people, because I say, you know, when I first got in, that I didn't go to Annapolis to make a name for myself. I had one before I got there. I didn't go there to make friends. I had those before I got there. I didn't go there to be known or to be popular. I'm an author. I've written 10 books. Six have been published. So I've done things. So I didn't need that. But someone who's running against me need that. You know, they need what I've already done. They need to be recognized.
All right. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. I'm here with 40th District State Senator Barbara Robinson. And, of course, a soon-to-be candidate for...
No, already.
Oh, you're already a candidate. I'm sorry, I stand corrected. A filed candidate, Corrigan Vaughn, for Congress in the 7th Congressional District. I know I have some people on the line. I got Reverend Napata, Diane, and Alicia. They're there. Please hang on the line. The lines are open. 410-319-8888. We'll be back with more real questions in just a moment. Welcome back to Real Questions. I'm David Brown. Of course, we are having an enlightening discussion with, of course, State Senator Barbara Robinson of the 40th Legislative District and Corrigan Vaughn, a wildcat, a colleague who is running for the office of Congress in the 7th Congressional District. All lines are lit up. I mean, incredible. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. I'm going to go straight to the telephones, and we'll take a few calls, and we'll get back to more discussion. Let's go to Reverend Daki Napata. Good evening. You're on the air. Reverend Napata, we're trying to get to you. Hang on just a second. Okay, Reverend, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're on the air.
Okay, first of all, God bless you and bless everyone in the studio and listening audience. Thank you so much for saying my name correctly. I got some mail not too long ago, and it came back, Darkie, D-A-R-K-I-E, Potter, P-O-T-T-E-R. And Reverend Vernon Dobson thought that was so funny, and I'm glad I lived his name.
You know what? I just thought about that because I was just thinking in my head that you came from the Reverend Vernon Dobson School of Theology and Politics and how the two mesh together.
And I would say that not only whenever we have a show on the air, and I was one of the students that helped work with the petition drive to get the station on the air, and I'm so much in love with it and also in great despair about it. And I'll raise those issues later. Because when we say that WA is the voice of the community, then it should be that, the voice of the community. That's why I appreciate you giving a person a chance to speak and not give 30 seconds and cut him or her off. And when we started that station, we wanted it to be a training ground for students, and there's not one student show on the air, and that despairs me. And so as we say we're the voice of the community, maybe we need to say we're the voice with the community. So that's just a thing. I just wanted to say this. First of all, thank you again so much for coming in. We can disagree and without being disagreeable, and that's what I appreciate about this discussion and conversation. The thing I wanted to say is there was an African proverb that said the lie and the truth were walking down the road, and the lie convinced the truth to take out their clothes and go swimming. And as they were swimming, the lie jumped out, put on the truth's clothes, and ran to town loudly, pretending to be the truth. So the truth had a choice of either staying stuck in the predicament of the Jackson Southern Indians, say stuck in the mud, or to put on the lie's clothes and go to town pretending to be the truth, or to go to town as the naked truth. And these are the times that not only try our souls, our minds, and our communities, but also our universities and our political representatives and our communities in their diversity. And so the truth had the choice to go to town as the naked truth. And the naked truth is that this is a very racist town. It is institutionally embedded, and it's personal, and its agenda is such. The Dred Scott decision in particular, written by Chief Justice Roger Taney from Maryland, said that a black man and woman had no, he didn't say woman at the time, but a black man has no right that a white man or institution is bound to respect. And that is the same case today. And so when we talk about representative democracy, we go back to the African, to the destruction of black civilization written by Chancellor Williams, who studied under Dr. Leo Hansberry at Howard University, who was the uncle of Lorraine Hansberry. That's why so much politics was in her. And so when we say, I am not your Negro, by James Baldwin, it is very important us to understand the naked truth. The naked truth, there are two elephants in Baltimore. One is John Hopkins, the other one is the University of Maryland. And as we attempt to continue to keep those elephants from gobbling up communities and gentrifying them along with other institutions, including the state government, anytime you have a political relationship between the mayor of Baltimore City, who I know very well, went to Morgan with her, she was a cheerleader from Philly. She married Philip Pugh, my homeboy, after we moved out from the rides from West Baltimore to Cherry Hill. She married Philip Pugh from Cherry Hill, right? And so I say, and she started African American News World Report on, and she introduced me to my former wife, coming from a Black Caucus weekend in D.C. I said it to say what? That anytime you have a partnership where it allows the governor of this state, who happens to be Republican right now, to what? To tear down vacant buildings in historical districts, mm-hmm. right? And say he's doing green space, right? And yet we see the University of Maryland, which the Goon Squad with Reverend Dobson Perrin and even Dr. Vaughn and Madeline Murphy and all those important people.
Quickly, Reverend.
I'm saying it is important that we understand that what is being happening is that there is property and land for sale that God is not making anymore. One last thing. I am also a candidate, all right, for the 7th Congressional District. I know Elijah Cummings. I respect him. I don't agree with all of his politics or policies or the fact that there is not much that's been delivered in major ways to our city and our district, even when the redistricting happened around the census, and it's going to happen again very soon. So I say that to say what? That everybody has a right to run. I say that to Madam Senator Robinson. Everybody that is a citizen in the state of Maryland and in that selected district has a right to run, particularly people who live in the district. And it offends me to have someone represent our district and they don't live in our district, whether they're a state senator, whether they're a congressman, or whether they're president of the city council or anyone else. It is offensive. If you don't have enough respect for a community to live in it, and I just park a car.
Reverend, I've given you more time than I can allot, okay?
Well, I hope that you, last thing, thank you. I would hope
it was last thing two things ago.
That's right.
Wow. Based upon FCC guidelines, knowing that I'm a candidate also for the 7th Congressional District, you will afford me the same privilege and opportunity to be on the show as you would any other candidate independent.
I would, but the FCC rules don't apply in this particular case yet because we're not in the window
right.
that the rules apply. So, you know, go back and check your rules, Reverend. I will certainly let you come on.
Public trust, that's what it says, that the airways are leased to a corporation for the public trust.
Yeah, but I'm not in the election
cycle.
You're
on WEA, brother. You're on the airway.
Thank you very much.
God bless you too, sir.
410-319-8888 is the number to call. Diane, you've been holding. You're on the air.
me to you and your guest.
Hey, Diane.
Hey, hello.
Hi, Senator Robinson. David, I just had to say, because she's a graduate of Sojourner Douglas, we love her. You know, she came. I wish she would tell her story to the young mothers in Baltimore City, that they know where she came from. Yes, she is an author. I have her book. I'm not trying to promote her or anything, but she has done a lot in the community in East Baltimore. She doesn't even represent East Baltimore, but trying to save that college at the time. You know, I'm just giving her kudos right there. How you doing, Senator Robinson? And hi, Corgan. How you doing?
How are you, Diane?
I'm doing good. I'm doing wonderful.
Thank you.
I had called in because I had heard, but she did correct herself. I was like, no, we got to have some new people in. And they, you know, I think we the only people
exactly
in the country that says that you can't have no newbies. I'm looking across the country. They got 18-year-olds that ran for mayors in these small states and stuff. And, you know, nobody say, oh, they newbies and they only 18, they can't run. I have a very bad problem with that, but she did correct that. But I called in because we have enough people in Baltimore to correct that crime that we had. I was against that gun legislator, that the mayor wanted, because we already have things on the books. We need to make those works that's already on the book that has been passed in years instead of putting something new, because we can always amend what we have already on the books.
I totally agree with you, Diane.
And that's what I really agree with, because we got, you know, and then what I find out, when we put laws in, we forget that it always wind up hurting us, and then we wanted to overturn, like, President Bill Clinton said, Black people came to him when he was running, moms and stuff saying that, they, you know, that's why he didn't overturn the three strikes law. I think sometimes we don't think about what we are saying, and I know it's painful because of all the crime and stuff, but here's my thing, David. I've been saying it for 10 years on this radio. Black men, honestly, Black men across Maryland, if you grew up in Baltimore, come back and help us in Baltimore. Come back and claim the neighborhoods back. We won't have the governor, like the last caller said, coming in here destroying the houses and stuff. Come back and help. Some of them are your children that you haven't even seen in years. Come back and help. And Senator
All right.
Robinson,
I'm going to say thank you, Diane.
Okay.
Thank you. 410-319-8888 is the number to call, and I guess I'll just ask the question then. Is what's happening in Baltimore a result of failed policies, or is it the result of Black men's
success?
Yeah, first, I want to make a correction. I didn't graduate from Sojourner Douglas. I supported that, and Charles Simmons and I go way, way back before he was Dr. Simmons, and I've spoken at the commencement, etc. But I also want to say she's absolutely right, and I do stand corrected. And I didn't mean that all newbies should not be in office, because you have some people who are, as you said, 18 years old, are great preachers. So it's not about age. You know, it's about experience. And I thank the caller for that. But when we look at crime, you can't just look at as Corrigan said, the guns and the knives, etc. Look at what's causing crime. When you have the frustration of no jobs, no training, low wages, and all concentrated in one area, we have what, three Baltimores? Because if you look at what's happening downtown around the harbor, and then you look at what's happening over around John Hopkins, and then you go out in the area where Park Heights is, and you look at, there are whole sides, a whole neighborhoods of boarded up houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go right across the Northern Parkway, and you don't see any. So something is happening that we are not taking advantage of, or we're not recognizing. We're not recognizing that we actually do need to look at what's happening in the family, what's happening, the reason that we do need jobs, we do need training. And it's not just a criminal issue. It is a social issue, and they both go hand in hand. If you go up on Pennsylvania Avenue, we own property right there at Lawrence Street. at any time, it's almost like a party up there, where you have people that are hawking their wares, talking about drugs, et cetera, et cetera. But then if you talk to one of those people up there, they say, I don't want to be out here. They want jobs and they want training. College is not for everybody, but jobs, everybody needs a job.
Gorgon.
Well, I want to correct something that was said earlier by Reverend Napata. First thing, the green space was not Catherine Pugh. It was Stephanie Rollins Blake. Catherine Pugh had nothing to do with
that.
And as I look on the Maryland Board of Elections, I think maybe Reverend DePata is declaring as a Democrat that he's running, but he hasn't filed. So having said that, I look at what's going on in our community, and there's one thing, Senator Robertson, you and I agree on, and it bothers me about North Avenue. We have no trades. We have no civics in our public education. And the CEO of Baltimore's education system is the third highest paid person in Maryland. And she's done nothing but decrease our schools. They're looking at trying to shut down Frederick Douglass every day. They're looking at all of these other schools. If you ain't a city college or a poly or one of those golden schools, they don't give a damn about those kids. And we've got to get into a place where we have someone, and this name rings out in my head, Roland Patterson, who fought for our children. And at the end of the day, I think Barbara Robertson and I agree on this. The bottom line is jobs, jobs, and jobs. And that's what our community needs, because all of these kids are out on these stoops selling wares because they don't have no jobs. And we've got to open the opportunity. Bricklaying. I mean, bring the trades back. That's something that we need to do. And nobody on the other side, excluding Barbara Robertson, has been fighting with this. And the only reason I say Barbara Robertson, because we have fought on both sides of the aisle fighting for the same issues. Am I correct,
That's
Senator?
That's true.
Let's take the phone call. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Alicia Brown. I'm going to ask you if you will keep your calls relatively short, because I do want to get as many people on as possible. Alicia, you're on the air. First time caller. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. And good evening to you guys. So I just had a few comments for Senator Robertson. I first wanted to thank you for the work you've done in the community. One thing I can say, I have seen you at our community meetings. And even when I switched from Madison Park over
to... You've got something going on in the background that's actually bleeding through. If you can turn it off, please, I'd appreciate it. While she's...
Is this better?
Okay, go ahead. I'll let you finish up your statement. Go ahead.
Okay, I was saying that even when I left Madison Park and then went over to Park Heights, you were still there at the community meetings, and I wanted to thank you for being present. Mm-hmm. My child actually attended some of the programs that Park Heights had to offer.
You've got to turn it off. It's bleeding through, and it's confusing. I want people to be able to hear exactly what's being said. So either turn your radio off, your TV, or whatever, or get to a spot that you can speak freely, okay? All right. Go ahead. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Thomas.
Brother David, how you guys doing today?
Fine, how are you?
Hello.
Listen, I would be considered a newbie in this case for the simple reason. Every new person that we've had in office right now hasn't created this problem that we have. It's the people that's been in office, David, 10, 15, 20, and 35 years that's created this problem. Now when a new person come along, all of a sudden, because the new person doesn't have any experience in messing things up, like the older people have or the seasoned politicians have, the new person's not worthy for office. I take offense with that. I take a very strong offense to that. And David, 202 murders in the city of Baltimore now, right?
Absolutely.
Do you know what 202 murders in the city of Baltimore means now? Let me tell you quickly what it means, David. We are 18 murders from having 1,000 murders in the city under Kevin Davis's tenure. Why does he still have his job?
You know something? Can I make a statement on that?
Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it, man.
David, there's something that we don't realize, and Senator Robinson can tell you that I'm telling you the truth. These are murders that have been confirmed by the ME. There are other situations.
What's the ME?
Medical Examiner's Office.
Thank you.
So there are, and this happens every year. You have almost 500 pending murders by the end of the year that the ME will not deem murders until after the year goes through. And that's a fact.
Senator Robinson.
You know, when you talk about people that's been in office and these murders go on, and I'm not really understanding what you're saying, because if these murders have gone on while people are in office, so you're saying that if a new person get in office, then the murders will stop? If you have someone who is already in office and trying to work a way to stop the murders, how can you tell me that someone who's getting into office will know what to do? If that person knows what to do, why isn't that person doing it?
Yeah, that would be the question I would have to ask, too. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. Let's go to Raquel. You're on the air. Raquel?
My shift. I have just something that I would like to say to Corrigan. I believe that's his name. Corrigan, I'm saying this from a nurse's point of view. Do not down Elijah Cummings because he was in the hospital, because illness can come on anybody. And I think you was very low when you did that. Talk about him being in John Hopkins from May to June or May to now. That's something that anybody can have. Anybody can get sick.
Ma'am, I'm a 27-year brain tumor survivor. My statement was, and let me be very clear so that it won't be misconstrued. I stated that Senator John McCain, and this is a fact, and this ain't pretty low, it's a fact. He's a public official as well. Hold on. Allowed and made the nation to know that he was going through a cancer brain tumor situation, which I went through. And it bothers me when your constituency, because you are a public figure, your constituency, like Barbara Robinson, if something's going on with her, she would let her constituency know, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
That's true.
Yeah, so I mean,
they had a right to know.
The issue is, it's everybody has a right to know when you sign your name on that dotted line. That's public knowledge, dear. That's public knowledge. It was put out. I didn't put out anything that wasn't public.
Hope you lose for that reason. Okay, anybody can get sick. I work here at Shock Trauma, darling. I see.
All right, thank you.
Wow.
Raquel, we appreciate it. Let's go to Dr. Bowens. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. It's a pleasure to be with you all today. I'm just so grateful for this show, and I'm a first time caller.
Oh, wonderful! Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank
Bowens.
You
are so welcome. Hi, Senator Robinson. How are you? So
I'm
good to hear you.
How are you?
I'm great. There's two things I would like to say, and then I would like to ask Senator Robinson a question. The thing that I want to say is, it's a sin problem. It is not the responsibility of those individuals that we elect. It is a sin problem. That's what's going on across America, a sin problem. That's what's going on in Baltimore, a sin problem. I live in Severn, but I'm a chaplain with Baltimore City Police, and I go out riding with them, and we do a prayer walk from my church every first and third Tuesday. It's a sin problem, and if we do what God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and heal the land. Our land needs healing. We're praying for it all the time, and it's a sin problem.
Now, Senator Robinson, could you give us a little bit of information about your background? My church is in your district of the line of the tribe of Judah. So could you give us some information so that we'll be aware of what's going on, how you got to where you are, and what you want to do going forward to help heal the land?
Thank you, Dr. Owens.
You're so welcome.
Thank you so much. You're absolutely right. When I talk about people being in the streets, it's because I've been there. And when I talk about discrimination, it's because I've been there. And when you look at my record and you look at welfare, I'm from welfare and the streets and from race. I could go through some things that from the court system and into business. And I started in business with an unemployment check and prayer. I'm from Black Court Projects, 26 South Exeter Street, Apartment 4F.
Wow.
And I can tell you about standing on Greenmount Avenue for government cheese and powdered eggs and powdered milk. I can tell you all of that. I've been there, done that. And then I can tell you about working at the court system and being called the N-word or going to work in a hangman's noose on my desk. I can go through all of that. And if you read my first book, you'll see all of that. But I can also tell you about starting a business on an unemployment check and taking that business to have 162 people on my payroll. And I can tell you about training 2,000 people and giving 875 people jobs. And I can tell you about going to the House of Delegates when going there to fight for minority and small businesses. There are so many things that I can tell you about being the first. And getting to Annapolis, and when people talk about minority business issues, they come to Barbara Robinson because that's where I started. I've taught in three different colleges in Maryland how to start and operate a business. I've also taught in prison. I taught in prison for 7 years. So I understand what's needed, and I understand how we can, the people that are in prison, if we don't stop the recidivism rate, people are going to going back to prison, and not only that, they're going to rob you and me because it's still about jobs. I understand that. I understand being taught business development when you're in prison so that when you get out that you can make a difference, you can make a living for yourself. So, you know, I can go on, but when I talk about being in the streets, when I talk about drugs, when I talk about all of these things that are happening, it's because I have lived that life. I didn't read this out of a book. I've lived that life. So I thank you so much, and I would love to get with you and share some things share some background and let people know that their condition does not have to be their conclusion.
410-319, excuse me, 8888. Let's go to Tyrone. Tyrone, you're on the air.
How y'all doing?
Fine, how you doing tonight?
All right, sir. First of all, I'll try to be brief. I need everybody within the sound of my voice to go to BaltimoreForHomes.com. I'm the president of an organization called Homes, and our goal is to stop the destruction of the affordable housing in a city with a documented lack of affordable housing, okay? Also, we want to give young people jobs and trades and training in a trade. I have three master licenses under my belt. I know about apprenticeships, and I know about housing, and I know about how to save distressed housing. There's almost no house that can't be saved. But regardless of what they tell you in the media as a justification for tearing these houses down, displacing the black citizens, because none of these houses are being torn down in the white community, not one. It's all affecting the black community, and it will affect your vote if you become a politician. So that's the other thing the politicians don't realize. They're cutting their nose off to spite their face. And at the same time, they're injuring people, some who don't want to leave their communities. They're destroying the communities. And as the lady said, these young people don't have jobs. And that's the other thing we want to mitigate. We want to provide mitigation for by training them in a trade so they can get jobs at a livable wage. But go to www.BaltimoreForHomes.com for more information. And we're going to have a rally at the War Memorial on August 12th at 2 p.m. We'll have live entertainment. It'll be a petition drive as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tyrone. I appreciate it. You know, I'm still, Corrigan, kind of reeling at the fact that a statement was made a little earlier, excuse me, in the show that dictated that more African-American men needed to move back into the city. And I'm listening to this, but at the same time, it also appeared that there may be some indictment upon black men not fulfilling their responsibilities, either by leaving the city or just not being visible. Corrigan, the final thought.
Final thought is I don't think that's so. And I will say the biggest problem we have in Baltimore City is ex-felons. And most of them happen to be black men. And that's a 21st century slavery that we can talk about another time.
We will have to talk about that another time, but because that's a hot issue, especially when a few of those years we were getting like a locking up 125,000 African-American males in a short period of time.
And that gun law that they're putting out there will bring
we did have some legislation to help ex-offenders, but again, we need people down to help get the legislation through. I mean, we can put in everything that we want, but if we don't have somebody helping, somebody pushing, because every elected official in Annapolis was elected by somebody. So that means that, you know, those you elected us to go down there. You voted on us to go down there. So help us. Help us do what it is that you really need to be done and to stop the crime. I would love to come back to talk about ex-offenders.
I'm certainly going to have you back because I need you to come back and tell us more about what's going on. Same thing with you, Corrigan. I didn't get a chance to ask you about your background, which we'll deal with.
Okay.
But you did talk a little bit about it. So
anybody want to find out about my background real quick? www.vaughn4congress.com.
I'm out of time. Thank you so much. I'm David Brown. Tune in next week for another exciting edition of Real Questions. Good night, everyone.
Thank you so much.